وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. Muslim, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And would like to welcome all of you for the continuation and explanation and authentication of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahmatullahi alayhi. And our class today constitutes class number 14 to album number 2. This is class number 14 for album 2. And today we continue with chapter number 22, which we had started with chapter 23, excuse me, which we already start talking about last week. And we continue today with hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which reported by Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَذْوَ الْقُذَّةِ بِالْقُذَّةِ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. قالوا يا رسول الله اليهود والنصارى. قال فمن. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, surely you will follow the ways of those nations who were before you in everything, as when arrow resembles another, so much so that even if they entered a hole of a sand lizard, you would enter it. They, the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of Allah, do you mean to say that we will follow the Jewish and the Christian? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, whom else? And we started to explain last week about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied this matter, that part of this ummah, some of the Muslims, they will follow the footsteps of the previous nations, from the Jews and the Christians. They would imitate them and do things which have been done by them before. And the Sheikh محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمة الله عليه, he has gave some examples, and among these examples is worship in the graves or exaggeration in the righteous people, which have been done in the previous nation and is already happening nowadays. Very obvious, you can see it almost any place you go, especially overseas among Muslim countries. إلا من رحم الله سبحانه وتعالى. Also among the previous nations, those who had talked ill about Allah, as he said, the Jews said about Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 64, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tied. And also they said in Surah Ala Imran, verse 181, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنَ أَغْنِيَاءٌ, indeed Allah is poor and we are rich. Also they stated that Allah had got tired. He said that he created the seven heaven and the earth in 6 days, and in the 7 days he had rested. And also we see in this nation some of the Muslims who deny the attributes of Allah, denying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand in the matter and the manner that it fits with His Majesty. Some of the Muslims nowadays, they deny the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended upon His throne, as well as other qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous nations, we have some people, they ate the usury and they dealt with the usury. We found the same thing happening nowadays. In the previous nation, we found people had elevate or remove the capital punishment, not to be inflicted on the honorable people among them and the high classes. The same thing we see it nowadays. So indeed what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, we can see it in our life nowadays. Also from the other nations, we found that people had taught their priests, their monks, as a deity and God beside Allah. How? That whatever the monk or the priest say, even if it's haram, forbidden in the law of Allah, the people will follow their ministers and their priests and their monks. We see nowadays also some Muslims, you tell them, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he say, but in my school of thought is, or the Sheikh taught us such and such. He tells the people the dalil from the Quran, they give you the opinion. So there is nothing been done or been took place among previous nations, except you will see it, or you will see it. The previous nation of our people, among the Jews and the Christians, who had said to the believers that they are deviants, and we see also among these nations that some Muslims being called by different names and levels, by different labels, like extremists, or terrorists, or fundamentals, all these things. The occasion of this hadith came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us what happened in the previous nation going to happen in this ummah. So what is the relationship between this hadith and our subject about Tawheed? And why it came here in the book of Tawheed? Because it's telling you what they did is going to be happening in this ummah. So some of them had worshipped the statues, the idols. They made images. And they took it as a god besides Allah, or they took them as a mediator between them and Allah. And also, nowadays we see people worshipping graves, worship the righteous people, taking them as a deity to call on them in the time of hardship and need, or they take them to be a means to Allah to intercede between the Muslims and Allah, which is haram. So indeed what the Prophet said, we have seen it, and it's true, it's haq. And the Prophet said, حَذْوَ الْقُذَّةِ بِالْقُذَّةِ. Same thing like the arrow, okay? Like one arrow resembles another, the other. The two sides of the arrow, they have physics. And the arrow have to be even and equal. Or otherwise when you shoot this arrow, it doesn't go even and straight to your target. So when you have an arrow and you have to the side of the arrow, it's physics, okay? And you cut them in equal way, to help and assist the arrow to fly or to go through the air to its target. So the Prophet says the same way that the arrow and its two sides are even, this nation will be taking the footsteps of the other nations in an equal basis, one by one. اكبس الزرارين اللي على الشمال الاخير مره ثانيه ها اوكي to such a degree excuse me for a second please. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about who are those nations that before us. The So the Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told them about you're going to follow the footsteps of those who before you, they asked, who are those people? Are you meaning the Jewish and the Christian? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who else? That means yes, of course, those are the people you're going to imitate them. This is the people that you're going to follow them. And he said, to such a degree, even if one of them enter a thin leather hole, that you will do it. That means without any understanding. You don't know why these people doing what they're doing. It's going to be from this ummah, people following the Christian and Jewish, imitate them blindly, with no sense, with no thinking, with no rationalization, nothing. To such a degree, if you imagine that one of them enter a leather hole, you will find the Muslims following them. That means they're going to be doing the same thing. Okay? And the Prophet said a leather hole, that means small tiny thing in the, you will find among the Muslims doing the same thing. That means if they did something greater than this, you will find them. If the Muslims want to follow them even in the smallest issue, that means they will be following them also in the other issues. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, indeed, the Yahud and the Nasara. And the Yahud or the Jewish are the followers of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. They've been named Yahud نسبة ما معنى نسبة نسبة للنسبة نسبة إن دي بنام يهود to taken after a man by name Yahuda. Yahuda is one of the grandchildren of the Prophet Isaac, Ishaq, or because they had to Allah, that means they repent to Allah, okay? They ask Allah's forgiveness and they came back to Allah after they took the calf, the cow as a god beside Allah. So hadu they've been called Yahud from the word Yahuda. And this because their grandfather Ismail and his son Ishaq, and after this Yahuda is a man from the great grandchildren of the Prophet Ibrahim. So they've been named after him. His name is Yahuda, so the name became what? Yahud. Or they've been named Yahud because and the Christian been named Christian after a place called An-Nasira, which is a town or a country called An-Nasira. And the Christian are the followers of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Or they've been called Nasara, been derived from An-Nusra, which means to give hand and to assist and to protect. When Isa alayhi salam said, who's going to be my helper to Allah? Man ansari ila Allah. So they've been called Nasara because they became helpers to Isa alayhi salam for the cause of Allah. And from this hadith we understand that some of the Muslims and some of the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his ummah, they will be worshipping the idols and the statues. And also from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning us against following the steps of the Christian and the Jewish in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that imitation for the Christian and Jewish is forbidden in Islam, especially in the things that is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from this hadith we understand whenever the person gets a distance from the Sharia, from the time of the prophethood and the time of the revelation, this itself it caused the person to neglect and to forget and to be a distance from the truth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hadid, the iron, verse number 16, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Is it not the time for the believers that they humble themselves and throw their hearts to be full with fear to the remembrance of Allah and whatever been revealed from Him with the truth, and not to be like those people who've been given the book before. As a result of a long distance between them and the revelation, their heart hardened, and most of them are transgressor or wrongdoer. So from this verse we understand that the more the person be a distant from the time of the prophet and the time of revelation, the people start to forget and neglect, and due to this elapsing of time it will cause their heart to harden. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us in the hadith, لا يأتي على الناس زمان إلا وما بعده شر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. That is, no time will come to the human being except that what comes after this will be worse. Okay. What comes after this will be worse. That means the year 2000 will be worse than the year 1999. And the year 2003 will be worse than the year what? 2001. So the more that you get later, the time gets worse. What we mean, more evil, more haram, more sin, more kufr, more disobedience. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that it will continue to be like this. The latter time will be worse than the previous until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this doesn't negate the fact that will be the righteous people, alaykum salaam, at all times, and in different places. Although the things will get worse, but it's always going to be a righteous people in existence. As we see the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, the first generation that has been established among them, as a result of this, there is no person will come after them be better than them. Okay? Not from the Tabi'een, or the Tabi'een, or anybody else to come after them. The next hadith in this chapter, which is reported by Thawban radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا وَأَعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرُ وَالْأَبْيَضِ. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted, folded for me the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had folded the earth for his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that I saw its east and west. The kingdom and the authority of my community of the Muslims, i.e. the Muslims, will reach as far as the earth was folded for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the two treasures, the red and the white. The red, which means the gold, and the white, which means the silver. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to this ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him for his ummah not to be destroyed by poverty, starvation and hunger, not to be destroyed as a whole ummah with starvation that will take them all in the same time. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give control to the enemies over the Muslim ummah. And even if they came, those enemies came from every angle and every corner of this land, the world. Unless they start fighting each other, killing each other, and take each other as a right hand with this and prisoners of war. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had answered some of these supplications and some not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I decree a decree, I don't withdraw it, I don't change it. I have promised your ummah that I will not destroy them totally by starvation, and I shall not give control to the enemies over them except from among themselves, who exterminate them in a mass. So we see in this hadith, which in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, the speciality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, by folding the earth and bring it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such a degree he was able to see the whole earth, the beginning and the end of it, the east as well as the west. And also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed of him, that the kingdom of this nation will reach all the way to the east, all the way to the west. That means that Islam and the authority of Islam and Muslims will be all over. And in actuality, we can see it nowadays, how Islam went all the way to the east, the India and behind even India, and all the way to the west, to Morocco and beyond even Morocco. There is no any place that you know in the earth, east or west, that Islam didn't reach. And also the authority of the Muslims had reached all the way to the east, as well also all the way to the west. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had fulfilled this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also we see that it didn't extend from the north and the south, as extended from the east to the west. And this also another point in the hadith that we pay attention to it. But although it reached different places, north and south. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ said, I've been given the two treasures, al-Ahmar wal-Abyad, which is the gold and the silver. Okay? And although that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't get it in his time, but later on, after his death, in very short period, we saw how the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they went east and west, and they got all this land and all these treasures, and for Kisra and Kaisar and all the gold they have, it came and became under the Muslim authority or the Islamic authority. Although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't get it himself, but what been given to his ummah is because his ummah is extension for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is in the same meaning. And not been given to them because they are a Arab, but because they are Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us in this hadith, he had supplicated and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to destroy his ummah, the Muslims, with a general destruction. poverty. That means will come and remove and kill all the Muslims one time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered this call, and we see that sometimes maybe there is a starvation in Somal, but you don't see it as example in another country. You may see it in Sudan, but you find people in Kuwait maybe living much better, okay? You may see it in place like in Iraq or Egypt, but you find people in Emirates, you understand what's wrong. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his supplication that his ummah, wherever the Muslims are, that not to be destroyed as a result of the salvation, and will become something to finish all the Muslims one time. And the second dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to send an enemy outside, enemy, that non-Muslims, which they will take over the Muslims. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he makes a decree, there is nothing to change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made a decree, it's not because he making a decree with no wisdom. Okay? All the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is knowledge and there is a wisdom behind it, although that maybe we didn't see it. Okay? And that no one can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this to show also the ability of Allah, that no one can be against Allah's decree, nobody can stop it. If Allah decree for something to happen, if it's natural disaster, is a rain or a hurricane or whatever, nobody, doesn't matter the superpower or they are not superpower, they could not change the decree of Allah. If Allah decree for a great person to die, doesn't matter how much security around him. Okay? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that the moon to rise, the sun to set, nobody can stop the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have different decrees in him, in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do things for reason and wisdom, although that we could not see it immediately, and sometimes we did not know what it is behind this wisdom. Why such a country taking over another country? Why such a country bombing other country? It may seem to us it's horrible and destruction and this is the end of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows why such a thing happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala full with wisdom. And sometimes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made out of the decree to be the dua. Dua to change the decree of Allah by Allah's will. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed something to happen, and when it's such a thing happening, that the person will make a dua, and the dua will be stopping such calamity. So this dua is part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And sometimes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops something to happen for the person to make the dua, and after this will happen, so the dua also was part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've been given you, I give you for your ummah the first supplication, I will honor it, I will answer it, that not the whole ummah to be destroyed one time by starvation. And the second supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to put an enemy out of them. Okay? Non-Muslim to be over the Muslim, to destroy them and take over and have authority of them. Unless if the Muslims start what? Fighting against each other, and they will go to such a degree even that they take each other as prisoners. Okay? So if the Muslims they do this, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an enemy out of them, okay, non-Muslim, and he will have authority and take over of them. And nowadays, this is what we see among the Muslims. After they used to be one ummah, one khilafah, under one leadership, okay? They disunited, they became countries, they have different leaders. Now, when this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and let a kuffar, a non-Muslim, to have authority over them. And the Shaykh mentioning here about what one of the things that has happened to the Muslims, it is that one of the worst been happened to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallat alayhim al-tatar. I don't know if you know this in English, the tatar. Okay. They did mass destruction for the Muslims. They said they did the most horrible things to such a degree that in Baghdad, in Iraq, okay, only in Iraq, they killed more than 500 scholars in one day, in one single day. And they killed the Khalifa of the Muslims in that time. And they took the Islamic books and they threw it in the river. Okay? They used it as a bridge to cross over it. And they started to step over it with their shoes. And they used to take the pregnant women and they cut their stomach with knives and taking the children out of their stomach moving, watching by their mothers. Okay? He said, so this is what happened when the Muslims got divided, disunited, and they start to be against each other. They have no respect among the other ummah, nobody feared them, and they did to them what we read in the history and what we see nowadays. The addition narration of Al-Barqani, he's saying, وَإِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُضُلِّينَ. Okay, so we understand now that these things that happening because the Muslim, they are turning away from the way of Allah and they became against each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the enemy take over them. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we see that some of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been answered, and some, for whatever reason, Allah knows best, that he didn't answer his dua. And we understand for sure that whenever the Muslim make dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him what he asked him. Okay, exactly. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will elevate a calamity supposed to fall in him, instead of answering the dua, okay? Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save this dua for him in the day of judgment, he will take it in a form of reward. The a'immah is a plural of the word imam, and the imam is a leader. Doesn't matter if a leader in the good or in the bad, still called imam. The term imam means a leader, and a person can be a leader in something good or a leader in something bad. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ saying, I am afraid about my community of those trade leaders who will lead trade. When the sword is used among my people, it will not be withdrawn from them till the day of return. What been meant by the a'immah al-mudulleen, the trade leaders, those who lead the people by the name of the deen, they claim to be leaders, and they leading the people by the name of the deen, or they taking them by the power, being an authority. Okay, so it can be a person who is a scholar by he just misled or been what you call persuaded for some of this material thing of this dunya, so he starts to tell the people and teach them something wrong, giving them wrong fatwa, like we see nowadays in some places that the imam or the scholar is controlled by the government, and basically he issues fatwa and religious order according what is to the government. Okay? Or it can be imam, a leader, like a president over a country, and since he has the army with him and the authority in his hand, he will force the people to go in a certain direction. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, I'm afraid about my community, the Muslim people, my followers, from those who are stray leaders. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about something which was not in his time, one of the prophecies, that if the sword takes place in this ummah, this is going to be the beginning and it's not going to stop. Okay? The people will go against the rulers by force, try to remove them out of authority. Okay? Not for any just cause, but the only time you will be against the ruler that he starts to act in a clear kufr and disbelief. Okay? إلا أن تروا كفرا نواحا عندكم من الله به دليل أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Unless a person see from the imam, the leader, a clear cut disbelief with evidence, he could not go against this Muslim ruler. Not for some haram, some disobedience, even if he's drinking the wine, even if he's drinking wine, because this is a ma'atiyah, it's disobedience. Only in a case of kufr, because drinking wine is disobedience, it's done by one man or by the leader and the surrounding people. Okay? But when you make a revolution And you go against the leader, will be a lot of bloodshed among the Muslims. Okay? A lot of people are going to die as a result of this. So the only case that the person will be against the Muslim ruler, that when he acts in a state of kufr, and it has to be a clear-cut kufr, a clear-cut disbelief, not something that you think or you assume. So the Prophet said, when the sword comes in my ummah, that somebody starts to use it, this will be it. It's never going to stop. That means people will be rebellious against the Khalifa or the Imam of the Muslim, the Khalifa of the Islamic State, the head of the Islamic State. And this is what has happened with the third Khalifa, Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him. That the people had accused him with certain things, that none of it is disbelief, okay? So, and they became against him, and finally they killed him. They killed the Khalifa Uthman radiallahu anhu. And since this time, revolutions never stopped. This was the beginning, and this was still happening nowadays. People going against the rulers, and so-called revolutions, and we see Muslims bloodshed everywhere. But this is not the main point in the hadith here that the Sheikh brought the hadith here for. The point that he brought here, this hadith, to relate to our chapter, he's saying, وَلَا تَقُمُ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى يَلْحَقُ حَيٌّ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ. The hour is never going to be coming until a part of the nations, the Muslim nations, a certain section or a certain country among the Muslim community, they will be part of the mushrikeen, the kuffar, regardless if they go to them by their physical being and to live with them and to be part of them, okay, or they will act like them while they are in their country, okay. It can be one of them or both of them, but basically it doesn't matter if you go to the kuffar or you stay in your country and you act like the kuffar, is not going to be making a big difference. But the Prophet ﷺ has indicated that the hour is not going to take place . The last hour will not come until the tribes of my people attach themselves to the polytheists, and the tribes of my people worship idols. This is the main point that the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has brought this hadith. This is a prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that will be a special section or a special country or a special tribe, but will be some of this ummah. They will, after the 10 Muslims, they will go back doing the same jahiliyyah like before, worshipping idols and statues. And I'm sure we see these things established in our days, okay? Like you see the people worshipping the graves, prostrate there, making tawaf around the grave, kissing the door for the grave, crying to the sheikh to help them. So, in actuality, see, basically almost everywhere, illa man rahim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي كَذَّابُونَ ثَلَاثُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates also كلهم يزعم انه نبي وانا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي. That also in my ummah will appear 30 people, each one of them will claim that he is a prophet. Okay? There will be among my people 30 great liars, each of them asserting that he is a prophet. For let I am the seal of the prophet, after whom me there will be no prophet. And I'm sure that you know one of the major groups that exist nowadays, and they claim to be Muslim, the Ahmadiyya. Ahmadiyya, they read the Quran, they have their own tafsir, everything. They almost believe everything and they claim Salah, everything. But part of their belief that Ahmad Qaidani or Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is a prophet. Okay? Mirza Ghulam Ahmad to be a prophet. And this is part of their belief. And this is sufficient to make them disbelievers. Okay? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. How they say it, how they alternate and change it, say the Prophet say, I'm خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. And خَاتَم means a ring. Okay? So I am the beauty of the Prophet. Because خَاتَم is a ring that you wear it in your finger so to be adornment to your hand, to beautify you. So the Prophet say, "Ana khatam," but khatam also means a seal. And seal, like when you're going to notarize a paper, and the notary got a seal, then this is it. Nothing else you can add after this. So when you put the seal, this is the last, the final thing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am khatam. I am that final." But how they verse from the word is, okay? He said, no, he doesn't mean Khatam is the last, but he's what? He's the adornment. That means he's the most beautiful or beautify and complete the prophethood mission. And he said, La Nabiya Ba'di. Even if you make a mistake, this word, look to the sentence coming after this thing, that is no prophet after me. And he said, what? They are Kazzaboon. Each one of them claim to be a prophet. And there is no prophet after me. I am the seal of all the prophets. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَنْصُورَةٌ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Someone ask and say, how the Prophet ﷺ said, I am the seal and the final prophet. While we know that Isa alayhi salam is part of our belief, that Jesus, son of Mary alayhi salam, that he will come down to the earth in the end of the time, before the day of judgment. And he is a prophet. And he will abolish the jizya, the tax, and nothing will be accepted in that time except Islam. So to refute this argument, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already prophesied and told us about the coming of Jesus alayhi salam. Okay? So, the prophethood of the Prophet Isa is not a new prophet, but he already been a prophet before the Prophet Muhammad. Okay? So he is not coming to preach a new book or to give a new message to say that Like Clinton, as example, astaghfirullah, but to give example, he was the president, okay, of United States. So I shouldn't say his name again. So he was the president. Does not mean now when he comes to the, he visits the White House, now he can go to the same office and sit on the chair and see. He may be welcome there, give him a cup of coffee or whatever it is, okay? But maybe Bush, he will ask him to go as his representative to Kenya or someplace or to Afghanistan to make a debate with Pakistan to give him Bin Laden as example, okay? So he coming as a delegation or representative, but he's not the president anymore, you see? So the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he been a prophet to Bani Israel. So he's not getting the status of a prophet again when he's coming. To such a degree, even he doesn't leave the Salah. When he comes and the Salah is established and the Mahdi is there about to leave the Salah, he see him, he back up and say, no. He said, you people, you are the leaders of each other here. And he let the Mahdi leave the Salah. He doesn't leave the Salah. Okay? So he coming to do a certain mission, which was abolishing the jizya, breaking the cross, killing the swine. Okay? And this is not a new revelation because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indicated that he will be doing this and that. So this is not new legislation. It's implementation of God was been established already for his coming. So this from the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Muslims in general will hear such things, they may get scared, depressed, slow down, that some people going to be lying and say they are prophets. Some of this ummah, they will be worshipping idols. Such will be happening. So came like a glad tidings after this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, and a section of my people, a group of my people, will continue to hold to the truth, and they will be victorious. And they will not be harmed by those who oppose them till Allah's command comes. So don't be, understand, get scared and go now in your house, lock your door and say, okay, going to be liars, claim they are prophets, it's going to be some people, devious leaders, it's going to be the sword, continuing until the day of judgment. It's going to be some people worshiping statues. There's no hope. There is no more room for me here. I should go by the tree and hold to the trunk of the tree until death come to me. He said no. Also the Prophet ﷺ told us that it will be, with all this mess happening, it will always be a group of this ummah. Remain in the truth, holding to the correct teaching, the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Doesn't matter those who agree with them or those who oppose them. They will always, these people, holding fast to the truth. And this also telling us that there will be some people against them. But this group, they will still holding to the correct teaching, to the pure Islam. Let's call it the pure Islam, has been taught, has been revealed to the Prophet, and has been taught to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and has been understood by the Sahaba. They will always be some people who are holding to the teaching, to the correct teaching of Islam. Until the command of Allah come for all the believers to die, and no one will be on the earth except the worst kind of people. Even that some people will be opposing them, against them, they are going to be these people remaining. Here and there, they will always be. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them, inshaAllah. They will remain until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be victorious. They will be victorious, regardless if they are the upper hand or no. Victorious by having the correct teaching and follow the proper aqidah and acting upon it. They are not going to be among the deviant. They are going to stand holding to the correct thing, regardless if they have the position in the land or no. They will be victorious by holding to the correct methodology. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to somebody, no one can defeat them. Until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the souls of all the believers, no one will remain on the earth except the worst kind of people. So this hadith has came in this chapter for this sentence, which the group of my nation will be worshipping the statues. Okay? This is the reason the Shaykh wrote this, to show you that some of this ummah would be turning back to the jahiliyyah, to the shirk, and for us to be careful and stay away from grave worshippers and the grave worshipping and exaggerating in the position of people and honoring people more than what Allah has given them to such a degree that we fall into shirk. Although the hadith, also the other part of the hadith, didn't indicate where is going to be those victorious group, okay, they will be wherever. They can be in the Haramain, in Mecca and Medina, they can be in Iraq, they can be even here, in this masjid, inshaAllah. Alright? Does it matter if they know each other or no? If they are in the same town or no? But they are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with the correct understanding and the correct carrying out this understanding. Because it's not only sufficient to have the correct understanding and not to act according to the correct understanding. And it's not only a matter of aqidah, it is a matter of aqidah and ibadah and mu'amalat and akhlaq. It's not only that you have the proper aqidah to be from the victorious group, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't teach only aqidah, although the aqidah is an essential part of Islam, but the Prophet taught aqidah and discipline and how to deal with each other, everything, all the things is part of the way and the methodology of the safe group or the safe six, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had named it. And inshallah, with this part we're going to stop here, because it's going to be a new chapter after this, and it's almost time for Maghrib. So inshallah, we ask Brother Najmuddin to read the important issues of this chapter, inshallah. Is the chapter we just read?
Important issues of the chapter. Number one, explanation of the verse in An-Nisa, Surah 4, Ayat number 5. Number two, explanation of the verse in Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, Ayat 60. Number three, explanation of the verse in Al-Kahf, Surah 18, Ayat 21. Number four, the most important issue of the chapter is what is meant by believing in Al-Jibt, that is, magic, shirk, or idols, and At-Tabut, all false deities worshipped besides Allah. Does it mean believing in that sincerely by the heart, or approval of those who do so while hating it and knowing its falsehood? Important issue number five. There, meaning the Jews, saying, in regard to the pagan Quraysh, that the disbelievers who are well aware of their kufra, that is, their disbelief, are on a more correct and guided path than the believers. Number six. Such people will be found in the Muslim community, the Ummah, as is proved by hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. This is the main object of the chapter. Number seven, the occurrence of his declaration that many followers of this Ummah will worship false deities, idols, statues, etc. Number eight, most amazing is the appearance of those claiming prophethood like Al-Mukhtar, that is Al-Mukhtar bin Abi Ubaid at-Takafi, who conquered Kufa at the beginning of the caliphate of Ibn Zubayr, despite his proclamation of Ashhadu Hadatan and his declaration of being a part of this Muslim nation, and his testifying that the messenger, Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, was true, and the Quran was true, and therein is the confirmation that Muhammad, blessings and peace be upon him, was the seal of the prophets. He was believed in spite of his clear and open contradiction to it, meaning the Ashhadatan. Al-Mukhtar appeared in the latter era of the companions, and many people followed him. Important issue number nine, the glad tidings that the truth will never perish completely as it had in the past. Indeed, there will always be a group upon the truth. Number 10, the greatest of signs is that they, the victorious group, will not be harmed by those who oppose them and fight against them, despite being few in number. Number 11, this will be the case until the last hour. Number 12, there are a number of signs in the statement of the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him. Allah folded for him, blessings and peace be upon him, the East and the West, that is, the lands under the control of Islam, the meaning of it, and that indeed occurred as he informed, as opposed to the north and south. The two treasures, that is, treasures of Rome and Persia, were bestowed upon him. The two of his dua, his invocations on behalf of his nation, have been accepted. That the third of his invocations was prevented. That the sword would be used and that it would not be lifted after that. That false prophets would appear among this nation, the nation of the Muslims. There would always be a victorious group. All of this occurred, as he mentioned, even though each one of them was far from what could have been conceived. Important issue number 13, the extent of fear for his nation from the misguided and astray leaders. Number 14, warning and notice of the meaning of idol worship.
All right, inshallah, we're closing. Again, our class is going to be starting at 6:30 again, inshallah, next Tuesday. And for next Tuesday, inshallah, will be chapter 24 out of Kitab al-Tawheed. Thank you for listening. Jazakallah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. We have to close because it's time for Maghrib prayer. And inshallah, I'll see you at 9 o'clock for the Arabic class. Salaam alaikum. Allah.